Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. Isn't that beautiful music? That's Kaya Ivalani at avatarrhythms.com. Welcome in Love and Light. This is Michelle Mache, your host and co-pilot upon the path. Welcome everyone listening via Cosmic Dimension, streaming live, as well as all listening via iTunes and the archives. Hello, hello, and welcome to this part of the journey. So good to have all of you here. I am streaming live from the high desert, and it's just been amazingly beautiful out here. Very powerful retreat that I'm on. And actually lots to share with everyone. Hello, little light, and hello all in the sacred space of empowerment. Good to connect with all of you. Also, they really help anchor the energy. If you are new to Blog Talk Radio, listening to Awakenings for the first time as a guest, that's great. If you'd like more interaction in the chat room, also known as the Sacred Space of Empowerment, all you need to do is sign up with BTR with your name and email, and that gets you having more interaction. And then if you also would like to listen by phone, the number is 347-539-5122, and that's also the number for questions. I'm actually going to put it in the chat, 347-539-5122. And I will be doing readings, definitely gearing up for that, as well as we have our guest coming on at 1245, which promises to be some really good information. Kind of really excited to connect with our guest today as well. So, lots happening. First of all, I want to let everyone know I so appreciate your questions coming in, and you can email questions for me. Any guest questions, or if you have guest suggestions or topic suggestions, if you email awakenings@selfinlight.com. And any questions, you can also email questions that you want me to answer in my blog or on air at awakenings@selfinlight or info@selfinlight.com. And as everyone knows, we've been answering questions on air, and obviously you can call in too. Again, that number 347-539-5122. But I really want to be of service to answer questions for people, and thank you, Queen Goddess. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with you. Om Namaste. Absolutely. Also, I've been getting quite a few requests to do workshops or for people to sponsor workshops in their area, which I love doing that. For more information on that, you can go to my website, selfinlight.com. And what is needed, though, what is really helpful, if you'd like to me to be a part of your workshop or if you want to sponsor me to come in and speak and or both do readings, usually it's groups of 10 or more if you get that, but actually you can email info@selfinlight.com and just with your website or your company affiliation or what you had in mind, then that just helps the Self and Light team know what to do and to be able to get back to you. So that's really... and then, of course, the blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, that's also another good resource, and also consciousinspiredliving.com. And we are open to, if, to people contributing to consciousinspiredliving.com, the online magazine where, that's part of the Converging Flow, and it's an online magazine that supports the soul growth and living more awake, more conscious, more aware. So in a sense, it's an extension of awakenings. But if you are feeling the call, if you have a, feel a resonance to the magazine, consciousinspiredliving.com, and you'd like to write or you want to share or pictures, you know, if you want to report things that are happening in your area that you want to share with our reader base, that is great. Or maybe you're a photographer or a jewelry designer and you want to show your jewelry. We just require, you know, pictures and image, you know, images of whether it's your artwork or jewelry, crystals. If you're a healer or teacher on the path and you'd like to reach more people, just email submissions@consciousinspiredliving.com, and that's again submissions@consciousinspiredliving.com. With your idea or sample of your writing, what you'd like to write on. February we have coming up Universal Love, Love in All Its Forms, also Bhakti and Devotion. March the issue is on creativity, which our feature there I believe is Susan or Ariel Kennedy Stark. March, April, I believe, is on inspiration, and May, I believe, is overcoming odds, just going for your dream. So anyway, if you feel like you want to contribute or you want to reach out more, you do need a website and where we can refer people back to you. If you're on Twitter or Facebook, we also want your Twitter or Facebook avatar and name. And the website, so that people can find you. When they read your article or your submission, they got to know how to find you, to connect with you and read more about you. So it's really also good for people that have a blog and they just want to reach more people. So like I said, we are doing readings, and the call-in number for readings, 347-539-5122. And if you press 1 on the keypad, that lets me know that you have a question or a comment. So that good. It's an answer phone. Otherwise, you might be just listening. We get quite a few listeners that just listen by phone, so I want to make sure. So I'm going to touch on a couple things, and then we're going to get to the phone lines. I do have a couple questions that people wanted me to answer via email. And again, if you do have questions that you want answered on air, either submit them to my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. You can submit them in the form of a comment. That's Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. And I'll address it in the blog as well as on air. And again, for workshops, seminars, anything that you want to sponsor, want me to be a part of, or more information is info@selfandlight.com. That's the best way. It lets people more easily... address. One of the things I want to touch on before we get to the phones, and I'm going to get to the phones, is 2011, and by the way, I do have an online course coming out that I think is going to be amazing, that I'm also delivering in person, and it's all about aligning to the energies of the new emerging consciousness and what the process of awakening is, or the succession of awakenings to create the shift in our lives individually as well as collectively. And I will be doing this starting the end of the month, or at the end of the month, or the 20th of January in person. We'll have an ongoing workshop with this to really align. 2011 is really about aligning to the energies of the new emerging consciousness. It's really about extending out with your not only your soul gifts, but your soul design, to connect back in and design your life from the template of the soul. That's why I have my blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living, so that you're receiving those insights and those downloads that are guiding you on your soul path, so that you begin receiving those divine insights and flashes. This is really the time for people to take what they've realized into their actualization, into their actual being. So taking what you're, you know, from moving from self-realization to self-actualization, really, really living this from the temple of your being and living it in an everyday, day-to-day fashion. 2011 brings a lot of change, a lot of unrest, a lot of unsettled energy, new directions. I look like at this energy that's being downloaded, that is us, it's a higher expanded dimension, it's a higher expanded awareness. It's like having a Ferrari. Last week I talked about the revolving door. Well, it is. There's going to be a lot of choice, personally and collectively. Do you keep going round and round and round in the same old way? Are you going round on the roundabout in the wrong way, you know, in a way that's not life-enhancing? You know, are you going backwards or are you going forward? Or which could also be deep, if you look at the spiral, deeper within or expanding upward or outward. But are you in that fluid circular movement and actualizing? In other words, not just going round and round, but going round and then forward, or round and then up, or round and then within. But if you're just going round and round, you're not stepping fully into your gifts. And 2011 is really about cleaning house or clearing house. I did a reading this morning on the program, and what I got was about moving from obstacles to opportunity. Where are your challenges? Your challenges can be your stepping stones, or your blocks can then be used as stepping stones to get to that next level. We're always going to that next level. The difference is doing it consciously with awareness. Everything, every sentient being, all life forms have the possibility to expand, to evolve, to get better and better, more and more ideal, to ensure survival. The human being, the galactic spiritual human being, the galactic starseed, light being, because we have reflecting consciousness, we can get in our own way. And as Light is putting in the chat, or are you chasing your own tail? Exactly. Now is the time not to have reoccurring patterns that are limiting or non-life enhancing. That's why I suggest the clearing work. There's a basic clearing on my website that people can download for free. If you want to do more advanced clearing, there's the CD. But there's actually on my website, there's quite a few tools that can really help you, as well as on the blog, that are free, that can get you, you know, just support you, you know. So anyway, we're moving from obstacles into opportunity, looking at those challenges as redirections of energy to get you in a new direction that's more life-enhancing and that is allowing you to connect in more with the frequency of the light body so that you're not operating from denser energy or energy that's really dense and what we call congealed energy. And that's what brings in the blocks or the stops. One thing to do when you do feel a block or a stop is to go within, is to connect to the higher self, connect to the soul self. So what gets us out of these blockages and what brings us the opportunity is connecting to the mediating intelligence. And I wrote about this in my last blog post on Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. And that's Soul Insights, the number 4, Spirit-Led Living. Attunements, meditations and attunements, alignment meditations, which are also on selfandlight.com for free and also on Conscious Inspired Living, the Meditation Lounge. Those type of meditations, they don't have to be done for a long period of time. They can be done in a short period of time because it's connecting to your true nature that you already are. So it's realigning to that. That connects you to your own internal timing, your own inner rhythm, your own signature frequency. So as you get to your own signature frequency, which is the energetically what we call the energetic original energetic matrix that you are, then you're operating in your own timing, your own rhythm. That puts you connecting to your higher self, which gets you in sync or in the flow of your particular life pattern. And what that does is that heals on a deeper level, so you're healing from the, to the hologram. You're healing so that you're fitting into the total of the hologram. You're connecting into the holographic energy. And that allows you to move through the gateways, which are initiation points. So we're going through a huge initiation at this time. So you become more aware that you are a multidimensional being. You become more aware that you are living and existing on many levels, many dimensions, if you will. Like it says in the Bible, many mansions. Well, that's many dimensions. And the hologram is connecting to the divine consciousness. It's connecting into the soul or solar origin, what we call the originating point. So as you connect in with the hologram, the aspect that you are in the hologram, you connect in to divine consciousness, and you begin to see and feel the interconnectedness of all beings, all of life, all forms, everything, even consciousness made manifest, even the forms that seem to be not animate. And that's where we're going, is living with that full awareness, living completely in a way that not only celebrates that, but that is incorporated in our everyday lives or everyday living. All right, so we're going to get to the phones now, the number 347-539-5122. If you do have questions or comments, press 1 on the keypad and I will get to you. All right, the first caller we have is a Skype caller, so I hope you know that this is you. 1111. Did you have a question or a comment? That's you. You're clicking around.
Namaste, Michelle Manuel.
Hey. Hello, dearie. Hello, light being. Hello, radiant light.
Thank you. The same to you. I just wanted to connect with you and to send you the best and to ask you if there is anything that I overlook with this magnificent vision and insight and wisdom I have. You know, there's always something we don't see. And
oh, yes.
Thing
boy,
I need
true.
To know.
Let's see. Okay. The one thing I feel... Now, are you working, Queen, with light right now? Healing energy and light? That is the one thing I feel incorporated for you.
Okay, light in what way? Healing, yes, I believe I bring that through in most everything I do. So I would say yes to healing, the light.
The light I'm hearing is light as clarity, light as actually feeling the frequency coming through you. But I'm also hearing color as light, working with colors.
Okay, I'm being... go ahead.
A prism above you. I'm seeing a prism, a triangle of light with a prism. A lot of amber and gold around you, and also very, very deep purple and indigo. So it is bringing, and I feel images. So I'm not sure if you're working also with any drawing or images or collage, but there's something that you're going to be bringing on a form level also.
Okay.
Manifested form. Something people can touch, hold, look at. Does that
I
make
do
sense?
That, and I have been bringing forward goddesses in clay and glass.
There it is. Okay.
And I haven't put the color on the clay as of yet, and I've been being guided to use, in fact, I had a dream with such vivid colors, it was like so beautiful, and I haven't brought that forward, so you're right on.
You will. It's right above your the seventh and eighth chakra. Of course, the seventh connecting to spiritual, the eighth, the higher self, which we talked about today. And actually up into the ninth, ascension. There's this amazing triangle of light, but I see prism colors. So the color is going to be coming in your work. But yes, you're doing it. Working with the clay, working with the sculpture. I do feel some of them will also be pictures or paintings, and you're going to do a series, I feel like, of posters or lithographs of some of your work. And I also do see you offering these not only in person but also online. But you're definitely to work with the tangible. People want to see it, feel it, touch it. there's a lot of healing energy that's being infused. Oh, I wish I could draw that. It's just the light that I see coming in through the crown, coming from the source energies, is this amazing prism, just this bright gradation of light coming through you. Amazing.
I will see them, I will feel them, and you will see them. And I
I want to. Please share with us. Even put it, you know, if you have any pictures of them, put them on our the Awakening's Facebook page.
When they are ready, the time is right, I shall do it.
Okay. I'm getting excited. Okay, great, Queen. Wonderful.
Thank you so much. And I would just love to listen, continue to listen to your wisdom.
Okay, thank you, Queen. Oh, I love it. It's beautiful. Oh, my gosh. I can't wait to see her artwork. That'll be amazing. Anything you guys have, put it on the Facebook page if you feel called. Facebook.com, and then my last name, Michelle Mache. That's the Awakening's page. But, wow, powerful healing images. Amazing. All right. Hello, 631-284. You're on Awakening's.
Yes, hi. I have a couple of questions. Hi.
Okay, perfect.
Do you do intuitive or psychic readings, or?
Intuitive, psychic, channeling, medium, whatever's needed. I just tune in to ask can I help
a
person.
Yes.
Okay.
Great. I have a couple of questions. The first one was, my ex got residential custody of my son. He really shouldn't have happened. He just pushed, and now it started about 3 weeks ago, but he thinks he owns my son. I mean, if I have a class and I can't call exactly between 6 and 7, even though the paperwork says he won't let me ever talk to him for days or that day, there's a storm today. I can't get him. He won't fax me back if I can make up the days. It'll be 9 days I don't see him. I think it's alienation, and he doesn't care. He doesn't think he needs a mom. Long story short, I want to know if you see me ever getting my residential custody back, and if so, when. I'm trying to work on me and go back to school so I can keep myself busy and stuff, but that's about it.
Yeah, boy, this is he. It's obviously it's a power play and a tug of war, struggle of war with you, right? You got that?
I'm trying. Yeah, I know. I'm trying not to be in it, but I have rights.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. What I want to let me have your first name, please.
Suzanne.
What I want to tell you that right now, the best thing that you can do, and you're already doing it, is absolutely focus on you. I feel that down the road, your ex is going to get tired of this, okay? But right now, he sees how it's hurting you, and he's so into this. And what I want to say is, see, he can't control you anymore. He can't own you. So what he's doing that to your son.
Right.
So it's really not that he feels that he owns your son. He's trying to own you through your son, rather. So the less, and I know this is going to be difficult because, you know, you both, you know, I mean, obviously you love, you know, him and you want to get,
yeah, but I wrote
you know, you want to get him back.
Mm-hmm. Right, but I also fax him that I have to make up a day because he always did because of weather. And can I speak to him an hour early because I'm taking a class? I have rights. I mean, I can fax him about those things. Because if I call him
okay, what's going to happen? Yes, you can do all of that, but what I'm just going to share with you is that it's going to be when you more release, I hate to say it, when you more release the struggle that you're going to have that things are going to change between the two of you.
Oh, I get it, but I'm not. See, I am releasing it, and I'm trying to work on me and stuff, but the problem is I do have rights, and I get to see my son, and he doesn't own him, so I have to stick up for myself in certain things, or he'll just do what he wants.
Okay, he's going to do that anyway. Okay, so what it is, stick up for yourself, do the rights, but eventually when this is going to shift is when you're less trying to stick up for your rights.
But
okay?
Then I don't see my son if I don't stick up for my rights. 9 days will pass. That's not right. My son needs to see me.
Okay, so what do you want to know from me?
Okay, I know what you're saying, but I'm just telling you how I see it psychically.
Yeah. Because what's happening is you're caught up in his in the drama.
I know what you say, but not really. I don't want to go 9 days without seeing my son. Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Even if you try to, even if you right now.
Well, I have legally rights to do that, so I can get my attorney.
I know,
attorney.
But he's still going to pull. He's going to pull power. You can do all that, but he's still going to pull power plays.
Well, then what do I do? Never have any rights?
No, I'm trying to tell you what to do, but you're still in this. So what I'm going to tell you psychically is you're going to have to go through this for a while. And because, see, here's the deal. I don't care if you get an attorney or whatever you do. Your former is, let's say you're supposed to see him next Saturday. He'll say, oh, he was sick, or I had to do this or that, or I have to change the court date because I have to do this or that. He's going to play games within the system that's going to drive you mad. But you're going to have to cycle through that for a while. It's like what I said earlier at the beginning of the show, the top of the program, about challenges. Your challenges right now are your opportunities. So as you cycle out of this, and I feel for you, I know it's frustrating. I probably did the same, and it sounds counterintuitive.
Well, it's not just that. I'm afraid my son is just going to go with him forever because he's going to have such a hold on him.
Well, the thing that's going to release the hold is right now it's like your husband is the magnet and you're the nail. So as you become less charged, less magnetic, he's actually going to get bored of having your son around because I don't feel he's that connected to your son. It's all about trying to get back at you.
Well, he doesn't hardly work, so he dotes on him 24/7.
Well, okay, it doesn't matter. He's not that, believe me. It's right now he's doting on him to keep, plying a kid with a lot of candy or something. A parent says only eat one piece of Halloween candy, and the other parent says, no, you can have 20 pieces. But that, I'm telling you, that is going to grow old. It's not etched in stone. It's more process-oriented. It depends on when you shift.
Oh, I've shifted already.
You'll probably see a little bit about, I suggest to you, go to my website and download, it's free, and print, the projection perception. And do that for at least 30 days, and that'll help shift the energy.
Okay.
Also, the 5-step emotional clearing process will help you also shift the energy. Okay? And you'll see some relief, I would say, more May, June, but it is at least going to take that long.
Why do you see my son wanting to come back then, or?
No, it's consciousness, and especially with this new energy, it's no longer about linear time of this is going to happen in this amount of time. You can, things that are, see, when we read something psychically, or I channel something, or see something through remote viewing, some things are destiny, some things are going to happen, and the timing is up to how it plays out. Some things are not etched in stone. So we can have free will. We can intervene. We can bring in a higher consciousness and awareness into a decision. Okay? It's like getting a reading and knowing, okay, you're going on this road, and when you get to the light, turn left like you always drive, that there's going to be a lot of traffic there. Well, you can say, okay, I know I can beat the traffic, and you go and you get stuck in traffic. Or somebody else can go, okay, I'm going to go to the right instead of the left, and they don't get any traffic, and they arrive sooner. So right now we have, I call it mitigating consciousness. We can make things less extreme and less difficult or challenging by a shift in our awareness in a way that allows more consciousness to come through. All right, keep us posted. We'll put some energy towards what you're doing, send out a wonderful intention. But I would definitely say do some of the inner work to help shift this on what we call the inner plane. Okay?
Okay.
Blessings.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, 718-318. You're on Awakenings.
Yes. My question is, I'm caught between.
What's your first name, please?
Oh, Amenti. Sorry.
Pardon me?
Amenti.
Amenti.
Yeah.
Hi, Amenti.
I'm caught between a reading, and I feel like, in my heart, I feel like it's not true. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. Because you already feel something that's going on is not true.
Well, what I'm being told, I just don't feel that it's true. You understand what I'm saying?
What are you being told?
Like true,
yeah.
T-R-U-E. Like I just...
Oh, yeah, true.
Something
yeah.
in me just feel... Like, because I noticed that, like, after I gave my best friend a reading, right?
Mm-hmm.
About her
right.
situation.
Okay.
It seems like now that situation has come back up again in my personal relationship, but I'm just not feeling that it's true. And what do you have to say to that? Do you feel that it is true for it, or do you just feel that what I'm feeling is what I'm feeling?
You mean, okay, I got you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what you've been getting intuitively, and you gave a reading, you're now not feeling that the reading is true.
No. I got a reading
okay,
for
go.
Myself. And I
okay.
just feel like...
From yourself.
It's not, from my relationship. From about my relationship. And I don't think that is true. Like, I don't think what was said to me is the truth, is what I'm trying to say. I don't think that that's going on. That's what I'm trying to say.
Was it about somebody being with someone else?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I feel. I don't know. There is something. Is this person connected to somebody else emotionally, or is there a past relationship that they're still connected to?
I don't know.
That's what I feel.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. I've been told this before. We've gotten back together. Now we're together, and now I'm just like, okay, is this stuff, is it telling me that this stuff is still going on? That's pretty much what's going on in my head.
But it happened in the past, right?
Yes.
That's why. Okay. Here's what I feel when you get a reading like that, and this is a really, really good,
uh-huh.
you know, because I do feel it around your aura, and I feel it around the person you got back with. I definitely see that there was a treating and a betrayal, and there's still some connection with them to somebody in the past.
Right.
Now, here's the deal. Sometimes people pick on something that's psychics pick up on something that's already happened
mm-hmm.
or could happen again.
Mm-hmm.
What I say in that kind of situation is you need to be aware. You need to check things out a little bit. Not be, you know, paranoid and not be questioning and not being distrustful, but make things between you and the individual within the relationship get to a point where you are feeling more trusting. Here's an example. I read for somebody a while back, and they definitely, their husband did, you know, cheat
mm-hmm.
on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see it, the name and where they were and the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
However, their husband is no longer cheating, and they still feel that they are. So they're paranoid. So again, I'm going to suggest what makes a reading clear is being emotionally clear. I religiously use that projection perception. It's free on my website. You just go to Tools for Transition and Transformation.
Can
mm-hmm.
I ask a question? I'll cut you off. This
yeah.
person, I'm just curious. Have I seen them before? Have I seen them face-to-face? Is it a best friend, sister, or anything, or a family friend? Who exactly is this woman, and how old is she? And
I feel it's somebody that's been in the past. I feel that you might have seen, you might have met briefly. I don't feel that they're around you on an everyday basis or level.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel that they're either he's uncertain about being with you, being around you,
mm-hmm.
or the relationship, or you guys haven't gotten the trust back together. But there is something, and I almost feel like it could happen again. So I feel in that case, usually when that happens psychically means that there's something you need to learn from the relationship, from the situation about yourself.
But I'm asking, have I seen this person before? I'm
yes, once. I said once.
Huh?
Yes. Yes, you have. That's what I said, once. they're not somebody that is in your everyday environment. You're not seeing them all the time, but I do feel that you have seen them before.
Are they a friend of the family? Are they someone? How did I, you know? I'm trying to understand how did I see them. Are they a friend of the family, of his family, or one of his best friends?
I feel
friends,
more on
sister?
His side. I feel more on his side. I feel more. It feels like you could have met them or seen them a couple times. It's not someone that you're seeing on a regular basis, is what I'm hearing.
But
all right, Amenti, I need to get to the next caller. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You, because you're not clear, it's got to be for you, because what I'm hearing, you're not really going to believe what anybody is saying, which is, that's fine, that's good. I think sometimes people need to be skeptical, but for you to feel good, you and to know that the truth, you need to get clear. So that's why I'm suggesting the five, the five-step emotional clearing process on my website. You can print and download. There's a gratis or free version. The projection perception is also free. Start there. You've got to get clear, though, because you're also not trusting. They're, you know, not trusting what other people are hearing. You're not trusting yourself, and you're not trusting him as well. But I will tell you, something isn't totally cleared up with him and that previous relationship. And you know it on a gut level.
Mm-hmm.
But the ego personality of you wants to believe something different. So the way to know your personal truth is to get clear, to clear out the emotions so they're at a neutral point so that you can really see and feel what's going on. And that's why this is happening again to you. So it's for you to bring you to your own personal truth.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Amenti?
All right.
Leslie? It always goes back to us. Hi, 386-334. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. How are you?
Hi. Wonderful. And to whom am I speaking with?
This is Sheena from Florida.
Sheena or Sheila?
Sheena with an E.
With an E. Sheena. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Sheena.
I have a question about my father. There's some things I need some clarity on. He has a neck injury or back and neck injury, and he just had surgery on his neck to kind of slow down the process. It's eventually going to cripple him to the point where he may be paralyzed from maybe the neck down. And so I don't know, you know, how to feel, you know, how he's feeling about this whole process, because it's, you know, he's always been able to go, and now this whole life-changing experience. And, you know, I prayed and asked the angels, you know, to help with the healing process. And so I just like some clarity on how he feels about that. And he actually applied for disability, and they denied him about 4 times. So that's another letdown that he's going through.
Now, I do feel, I'm getting a couple things. Let me have his first name, please.
His first name is Reginald.
Okay, right now he's going into a little bit of, could this be happening, what should I do, and also into a bit of disbelief on it. So I do feel a lot of stress and worry around him on the situation, but I do feel the disability is going to come through. It may not come through right away. Now, I'm not feeling him paralyzed right away, so this is just a possibility, right?
Yes. It, It just slows the surgery, from what the doctors are saying. It just slows the process down of him becoming paralyzed. So no, it's not. He's not going to be paralyzed right away. It's going to gradually happen.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what I'm feeling. It shows some time. I feel, you know, you're going to, Sheena, have to kind of ride with him a little bit on this. I feel a lot of emotions around him, with kind of shock, disbelief, hope, sadness, resignation. I do see him filling out more paperwork, perhaps disability, and then something else as well. But I feel it is, yeah, I definitely do feel it slowing down the process. It's going to take a bit longer. I do feel there is going to be some, because I feel like some tingling, and then I feel no feeling. So there is going to be something that happens, and his guides are coming, his higher self is saying, you know that we're with him. There is going to be a couple of situations where it's going to become more real to him. And as it becomes a little, you know, more real, then he's going to make some other kinds of plans. Because I almost feel like there could be no feeling, no movement, and then it comes back. So it feels like it's intermittent somehow.
Well, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. That's what happens throughout the process. Now, like before the surgery, he would feel some tingling, and then there'll be times he wouldn't be able to move. Times
okay.
When you're laying down. And you say his guys were coming through. He's had a pretty rough life. So I'd like to know, like, you know, what his guys are like. And, you know, I asked Archangel Michael to be around and protect him. Do you see the angels around him?
Oh, yeah, I do see. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Is there. The thing is, everyone needs to know that when... you know, we have a rough life, it's what's happening from the ego personality, okay? So the soul, our soul connection is still there, our higher self, obviously. I feel in some ways your father has blocked that connection.
Mm-hmm.
So that's,
yes.
But it's there.
I always try to bring him back to it, though.
Yes, yes, you do. You do. I would say, you know, and again, on my selfandlight.com, my website has a lot of tools, the consciousinspiredliving.com and the meditation lounge. You can even just tell them it's for stress reduction, because the meditations are infused with the expanded frequencies that we're working with right now. So even though he might think something's, you know, for stress reduction or relaxation, he's also going to get that healing energy. The meditations act as an attunement, various attunements and alignment. I would say that's the best way you can help him right now, Sheena, and then just listening. He's blocked so much in his life. He's blocked that spiritual connection. And you know, a lot of his will, his, you know, but that's been his path, okay? So I think you just being, you know, more present as you are and awake, it is helping him, and your prayers and you drawing in the energy of Archangel Michael. It is helping. So I would say for you is just to always know that you are helping. Whatever you're doing, you are helping.
I wasn't able to be there immediately with him, so I don't know how he feels about it. He knows that, you know, it's hard for me because I lost one parent due to a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And so going through this with my only parent left is kind of hard for me. When I was visiting him in the hospital today, I heard a buzzing in my right ear, and I'm not quite sure who that was. Is there any way you can tell me
That's your own guide. That's your own higher self. That's your own higher self coming through. So,
okay.
Yeah. But just know that you're helping. Just know that you're helping. But I also feel some of this is happening for you so you don't, so that you can live more fully. You know that each person is connected to their own higher self. Get yourself some, your own healing. Make sure you're doing your meditation. Get yourself some healing work, energy work. Make sure you're nurturing yourself as well.
Okay. Well, I don't see how this can help me live better. I really don't understand, like, the hardship of all these things, doing all these things. I don't see.
Well, it's about focusing on you. It's about focusing on you. I know it doesn't make sense on an ego personality level, but it's about you focusing on you.
Okay.
And I'm not saying, you don't want to judge it as making you live better, but that's what's in front of you on your path right now, is to focus on you.
Wow.
Do what you
and
can.
And you think that he would get the disability out soon? Because
he definitely will down the road. Here's the thing, I can answer a little bit, but if you guys want more in-depth readings, you can email me at info@selfandlight.com and set something up. There is an adjusted rate for the Awakenings listeners, and I can give more focus for you there. All right, hang in there.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Blessings. We don't know why something is happening, you know. Like I said at the top of the program, it's really about connecting into what are those challenges that we sometimes don't even understand. It's difficult to understand, but it's always important as a caretaker to get healing for yourself. Today we have as our awakened guest Eileen Day. She is originally a New Jersey native. She graduated from the Arizona State University with a degree in psychology. And now she founded and directs the only state-certified vocational school of Reiki, which is in Seattle. And over the last 10 years, she's taught over 1,000 students from over 20 countries and has founded Reiki programs for uniting Reiki community to work with veterans and also to work with the environment that has been even activating the world. She's the author of Touching the World Through Reiki. And a couple of websites, if you'd like to tune in and get more information on Eileen, is ReikiTrainingProgram.com and ReikiFellowship.com. Hi, Eileen. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for having me. Can you hear me okay?
If you go a little louder as you were starting to is great.
Okay, great. How's that? Better?
Perfect. Yes, perfect. Perfect.
Okay. Good.
Welcome
so
to the program. Good to have you on the program.
Wonderful show. Pardon me? I say you have a wonderful show.
Oh, well, thank you. We got a little bit of a delay here. Let's see. I can hear you a little bit more. Permission. I want to talk to you a little bit about your book, Touching the World Through Reiki. And what was your impetus for writing the book, and what do you hope will come of this, of the book in regards to helping others?
Right, sure. So, you know, for the last 10 years, I've been running the Reiki training program, and I've just been teaching so many different people, meeting so many different communities. My background in psych, I also have studied counseling, and I'm a licensed mental health counselor, and I just had, you know, all this knowledge that I was teaching, and my students said, Eileen, are you going to put that into a book? And I said, well, I'm so busy I'm always doing my other stuff, and I finally had some time, and I was able to work on it this past year and get it out. And what I find that the book is it's not so much a manual. There's so many Reiki manuals that are out there on how you do Reiki, but, you know, if you've learned it, what do you now want to do with it? Do you want to teach it? Do you want to practice it? Where do you want to go with it? How do you want to touch the world? And so that's really the movement of the book. That's my mission with it.
Wonderful. Now, something that I found fascinating is your work with veterans.
Mm-hmm.
And victims of violence. Can you talk a bit about that?
Sure. It's a population that's really near and dear to me because when you've experienced trauma, whether it's happened through war or it's happened through domestic violence or, you know, even a very bad car accident or injury, and that trauma kind of gets stuck in the nervous system. And what I found both as a Reiki practitioner and counselor is that just by using Reiki, it can help to dislodge it. Does it make it totally go away? If you do have that diagnosis of PTSD, you probably are going to have to work with it, but it can lessen. So with the veterans, you know, when we went to war years back, I felt really called to reach out to them because I knew that many of them were going to come back. And yes, there are many resources at the VA, but, you know, Reiki was something that I felt could help them. And so I went down to my local veterans center. I talk about this in my book, and it was very intimidating because it's all governmental. And,
yeah.
You know,
and were they were they receptive right away?
Let's just say it was a very polite board meeting around a table with a lot of people, officials. And, you know, I feel really blessed to also have my academic background, so I could bring that out, and I could bring out studies that were being done. And so right away, they were like, well, we'll think about it, we'll discuss it, we'll get back to you. Michelle, it took 2 years for them to get back to me, but they eventually did get back to
me.
Wow. Yeah,
well,
there's a focus for
people not to give up, right?
Oh, my gosh. You really, you know, what I thought about, like, as it was nearing that two-year point, I really was just doing more meditations, and I said, you know, I totally surrender this. I really do. I am not attached, and literally, it's like once I really said that and committed to it, then the call came, and they said, well, would you like to teach Reiki? We have a group of veterans who'd be interested.
I wonder, do you think that they polled the veterans to see who would be interested or if anyone would be interested? Do you know anything about how that came about?
I think part of it was finding out of all the hundreds of thousands of vets that go through their center, those that would be open and interested to it. I think that was part of it. They also did research on me. They came to see my classes and things I was doing. They probably did research. And just being governmental, any kind of institution, you know, it just takes time. I understand that. So I think that was definitely part of it. But once we were in there, and it's myself and another Reiki Master colleague, we both teach the vets every quarter. Once we started teaching the classes, the vets really responded incredibly positively. And they're not just vets from Iraq or Afghanistan. They're also Vietnam-era vets. And they are finding a way in which they can manage their anxiety, which is often a symptom of PTSD, and stress, and pain relief. And so it's amazing. It's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, that is unbelievably amazing. And you said 2 years.
Yeah. It took 2 years, and so I continued doing what I do. I continued teaching, you know, the public, and the public often, I do get professionals in healthcare, nurses, I've taught doctors, acupuncturists, naturopaths, right, as well as lay people wanting to learn Reiki. I continue to see clients and so forth. And then, you know, the veterans came through. And as we worked with them, they started to self-report things that were happening. And I think the biggest story, and I do talk about this, and I say this is one of the stories that keeps me going. He's a Vietnam-era vet, and he suffered intense leg pain from a shrapnel wound 40 years ago in Vietnam. He's taking meds to control the pain and just felt it was something he was going to have to live with. After receiving the first Reiki attunements, you know, in classes we do attunements, which are really empowerments for the energy and nervous system, he said he felt the trauma of what he had witnessed in Vietnam leave out the crown of his head through a column of smoke, like he just saw this go. And he noticed that
wow.
right away his leg felt better. But he was, like every vet I work with, male, female, they're skeptical. They're like, what is this? You know, it's like, prove it to me. So a day later, he emailed me and he said, you know, there must be something to this because this pain I have had for 40 years is now gone. And I'm going to the doctor this week and I'm going to just make sure, get it checked out. And
wow.
went to the doctor. He emailed me again. And again, the pain had gone and the doctor really established, in medical terms, they would call it spontaneous healing. So Reiki, I feel, has that potential. For everybody, it depends where they are on the path. That's what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
But for this gentleman, mm-hmm. it shifted his world. It totally shifted his world.
Wow, amazing. I just find it so profound. And now how you know, I guess in a sense, open, or how receptive are they when you're teaching them? And do you notice any difference between teaching the veterans as opposed to teaching other students, I guess.
That's right. Absolutely. Most of the vets I have taught have been men. And so my colleague who teaches with me is also a man. And there's a psychologist usually present who's also studied Reiki, but he doesn't really teach.
Oh.
Maybe. So that's
okay.
interesting. He came on board.
Now, was that just a synchronicity or that the
yeah.
person had studied Reiki? Wow, great.
Yeah. That's right. So, I mean, I really felt when everything finally came through after years, right, that the psychologist who was there, you know, who was assigned to this, you know, was a Reiki master, but like an in-the-closet Reiki master kind of thing.
Right.
So they couldn't come out about it. You know, and I understand that. I've, in my past work, in social work, I've worked in nursing homes. You can't always just say, hey, I'm really into new age and alternative care. You know, it's changing. It is changing. And I want to talk a little bit about that. But the vets themselves generally are guys that I've worked with. So I'm the lone female there. And I think they like that because it's, you know, this pleasant person and all. But they're very much about concrete, like they want the scientific studies that have come out about Reiki, and I really like my colleagues.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they want more tangible. That's the majority. But then there are vets I've met that are just incredibly sensitive. They've been sensitive their whole life, and they find that in a Reiki class that we teach, there's a willingness, there's an openness to start talking about that sensitivity and that intuition that they've had. And we also talk to the vets about how in their military training, they get trained to work on instinct. They have to. That's how they survive. But intuition is working in the same way instinct is, but you're kind of turning it down. So instead of being on alert, aware 360 degrees around you, you soften it and you tune in to like the more subtle vibration. And they're very receptive to it. They're very receptive to it.
Wow. So they are, but they want to see the facts and figures.
They do. Majority of them do. They're really happy to see quantum physics explaining, you know, energy at the subatomic level. They want to see other Reiki studies that have been done. And so, well, in the last year, there's a publication now from it's called the Center for Reiki Research.org, and they have collated over almost 50 research studies on humans, on animals with different populations. Some have had cancer, some have had trauma, some have had fibromyalgia. And so most of those studies are showing there is an effect. Some of the studies are better than others, of course, like any kind of study, but all show in general that Reiki promotes stress reduction, reduces anxiety, and also promotes healing, not only at the physical level, but at the emotional level as well.
Mm. Yeah. Gosh, this is so amazing. This is really great that you are doing this with this.
It is. It's so tough. I mean, but it was. It took. You know, it took its time. And so now that the Reiki for Veterans is really underway and it's going and it's doing well, and I found out that Fort Hood and Fort Bliss in Texas actually have Reiki practitioners working on guides and gals returning, as well as massage and acupuncture. So there's in veterans parlance, they call it veteran-centric now, and they want to include more alternative health opportunities for them. So it's coming. It's still slow. I can't say it's absolutely everywhere. Those are just two bases that I know that are actually doing it. But like in Seattle, my hometown where I'm calling from, there are acupuncture clinics that offer free sessions for vets. So it's a movement within acupuncture. I think it's also becoming a movement within Reiki as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, to just get that, you know, happening, I think is amazing. I mean, wow.
No,
I can't think, everyone needs this, but boy, to have it to come to that group, it's very powerful.
Right. This is absolutely true. And before I wrote my book, I had published several articles about it in it's called Reiki News Magazine. It's like the Reiki magazine that's out there. And I really got emails and calls around the country and around the world, because I think my efforts, I know others have been doing this, but I think mine was the first to get published, put out there, and so people were inspired, and I know from that, and that's what keeps driving me, then more people do it. Good. That's really my whole goal with mission, vision with doing Reiki, is to reach as many people who need it, and vets happen to have a real just closeness to my heart. Another group that it's where I started my work as a social worker is with the elderly. I worked in a nursing home for about 5 years, and I always knew that somewhere along the way I would come back around. And just this year, my Reiki program and fellowship will be doing Reiki outreach to nursing homes and hospice facilities as well. But that's been going on for a while. That's been established. So, you know, there are groups of people that need it. Who doesn't? We all do. But especially, you know, those that are infirm and in pain and suffering. And, you know, Reiki is a non-invasive healing modality that offers gentle support.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow. Amazing. Now, you also said that you feel the health feel, it's changing in other areas too, and there's more receptivity. Can you talk to that a bit?
Sure. So what I've seen as a professional mental health counselor is that even with insurance, you are able to bill insurance for Reiki if you have a professional degree. So if you're a counselor, if you're a massage therapist, if you're an acupuncturist, naturopath, if you're a doctor and you practice Reiki, you can actually receive reimbursement and people can put their insurance towards it. So that's a shift. And that's really only in the last couple of years. I'm hearing from students I have a lot of students who work in healthcare as well, in administration as well as practitioners. And they are seeing, hospitals doing, like, wellness events for the hospital, for the patients, for the staff. On my book tour last month, I was in Arizona, and I met with a group of nurses at the Phoenix Veterans Hospital there, and the nurses were just really jazzed about getting training for themselves in Reiki, and they have some things in place. What I'm finding is there are some areas of the country, in my book tour I've gone to the Southeast, a lot of the Northwest, and I'm coming down to California, but Northern California next month, and the East Coast later this year, is that there's certain places in the country where there is more Reiki in healthcare, and less Reiki training. And then there's other places, like in the Northwest, where there's tons of Reiki training. You can become a Reiki master, but nothing in the healthcare. So it's sort of balancing itself out. And then there's just other areas where you'd think by now, I mean, I've been working with Reiki for 15 years. Everybody, you know, would, every major city would know about it. But I was down in New Orleans, and they're very steeped in spirituality and magic and voodoo, and they're open to so much, right? But Reiki's sort of a new thing. It's actually like a new thing. So that's, it's just interesting to me, you know? And maybe that's, I don't know, that's what makes it diverse, you know?
Well, it reminds me of what we call the converging flow, everyone coming together from all walks of life that are bringing their area, arena of expertise, and so many people are needed, you know, to answer the call, and it definitely sounds like you, Eileen, are answering the call, which is great, you know, and that's, I think, such a good example, especially the fact that you said that it took so long, because I think sometimes people want to help or want to reach out with their gifts, but they don't hear back, or they hear a no, and then that's it, you know, and right, your awareness of saying, hey, you know, this is a, you know, large company or group, and the way that they do this, it's an institution, it takes time. Probably your background, I would imagine, it, with the work that you do probably helped you have that understanding.
I do. I think it has. It's given me, it's given me a bit of patience when it comes to those organizations. I mean, even with my school, I had decided to see if it would be able to become a licensed vocational school. I'm not afraid of big structures and organizations. They don't intimidate me. I go, okay, right, what are the hoops? What's the paperwork? You know, I'll do it. There's an I Ching proverb. It's perseverance furthers. And I remember seeing that back when I was a teenager, and I was, like, looking into tarot and I Ching. Like, I was starting to get into a lot of, you know, kind of New Age things. And I thought, wow, that's a really good thing to think about. But I never realized, like, part of the work that I've done in the world would be that, where there would just be this kind of waiting period, and you just don't know. Mm-hmm. But as a counselor, what I've seen, you're right, with my background, that the not knowing place sometimes is really so rich because it's full of potential, and you can't predict exactly what it's going to look like. I had the intent, and intention is powerful too. I had the intention of teaching the vets. And I might have an idea of what it would look like, right? Right. But in terms of how it ended up becoming, no, it's different. But yet it's still in line with that vision and having that persistence.
Mm-hmm. So needed. I just want to let people know, by the way, if you do have questions or comments for Eileen, you can call in at 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad if you'd like to be heard. Now, Eileen, do you have this as a vision of, you know, and you said about institutions that you're not shying away from big institutions, which it's interesting. I'm thinking even astrologically with Pluto and Capricorn and Uranus moving in back into Aries at the, I guess it's March, April. That is the call, because as the systems dismantle, as the restructuring is taking place, you know, new forms are needed. There needs to be people that, you know, not only aren't afraid or have the know-how, but, you know, aren't shying away from institutions that know how to work within the fabric of of that bureaucracy to get in, right, and bring that expanded consciousness and awareness into either old structures or bridging to new structures or creating completely new structures. What is, if you put out there, what would your vision? We've got a lot of awake, aware, enlightened listeners, a lot of Reiki practitioners, you know, that are listening to this now and will be listening later via iTunes or archives or however. What is your bigger vision? Because I hear you're a visionary. So what do you want to share that? Want to share that? Maybe draw some more to come together in your intention.
Sure. Probably being a visionary might also link up with my own astrological profile. My sun is Sagittarius. My moon is Aries. and my rising sun is Sagittarius. So, yeah, that's a lot of fire and that's a lot of expansion. So when anybody comes to me with an idea, I got to put that in my idea file because my tendency is to go, whoosh, you know.
Jupiter ruling Sag. What did you say? Your moon is in Aries and the
Aries
Sag?
And the rising is in.
And sun, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Double Sag.
So all that higher mind, higher philosophy, working within a system or structure just to blow it out in a Jupiterian way. I love it.
That's right. Yeah, it's kind of fun. Well, you know, the greater vision. So this year, like I say, so we'll continue the work with the vets. We will continue going into nursing homes, retirement homes, and offering Reiki where they haven't been offered before, expanding the hospice palliative care outreach for Reiki. I mean, there are some hospitals here in Seattle, but again, everything's not linked up. What I would really love to see, this is the big, big vision. It's just like there are acupuncture.
That's why I asked. I can feel it.
That's right. You can feel it. That's right. Just like there are acupuncture clinics, just like there are community clinics.
Oh,
where are the Reiki clinics?
Yeah.
There are so many. There are an estimated 8 million Reiki practitioners in the world. Now, I know not everybody, and that's estimated. I think there's many, many more, and a lot are in the closet still, depending on their family. I mean, if you come from a really traditional background, Reiki can be kind of woo-woo, right? You know?
Yeah,
I get that. I understand that. And I've worked with that with a lot of different students. But there is a need for the clinics. I wrote about this a while ago. I had this vision once walking through Seattle. In Seattle, we're ubiquitous for having Starbucks on every corner because Starbucks was founded here.
Yeah.
And I thought, wouldn't it be great if there were Reiki clinics on every corner? Wouldn't it be awesome? So instead of having to go in and get a double latte and get your jolt of caffeine, you went in for 15 minutes and you had a practitioner work on you and you got a jolt of universal energy.
It reminds me,
I'm waiting for the... That's right, an energy bar.
Yeah.
There you go.
The real energy. Yeah, true energy.
The real energy. Yeah, not the little candy thing. No. The real stuff.
Oh, that's a great vision. So, now you said earlier, I want to touch back on that about how many, places in Seattle and how receptive it is there. Go back to that. Where do you see the most concentration of people doing this type of energy work?
I would have to say it really is on the West Coast of the U.S. In this country, right? It really is. I mean, I came from New Jersey to Seattle almost 12 years ago because I really had a vision. And this was early on in my Reiki studies. I wasn't really, experiencing visions or intuition so much. So it was really strong, and I knew I had to honor it. And, I went from the East Coast, which was just really discovering Reiki at that time, to Seattle, to Portland, to L.A., to San Francisco, to San Diego, to finding, we've been doing it here for, 20 years, or, we've been not only attuned to Sui, but Karuna, to Laser, to Rainbow, to the Angelic, to all these things. And on the East Coast, it was so much more traditional, right? And so I've seen that just continue to grow on the West Coast. But what I've heard, I haven't really been back to the East Coast all that often since I've moved here, but what I've heard from colleagues and friends who are back there, I mean, it's grown much more. And I'll really look forward to seeing that this year, to just see how much it's grown. Mm-hmm. But I'd say we're really blessed to be on the West Coast because
you don't
have a different being a practitioner. Yeah. But what maybe the challenge is finding a practitioner or a teacher who's really in their integrity with the work, that they've let their ego get out of the way. Because, I know it too from my own my own path through Reiki. When I was, you know, first starting, I was like, Reiki power, I'm going to put my hands on you and heal you. And my teacher went, no, 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 Eileen, no, this is not the way we work with Reiki. We step aside, we let the energy do, but it's coming out of my hands. And she's like, no, no, no. So I understand that. And so for an area of the country like the West Coast, you might find people who are early on, and it's not that they would do harm, it's just you would have a different experience than if you went to someone maybe who had been practicing a little bit longer or who just had a bit more integrity in their work.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting you say that. I remember, and again, I so agree, it's the difference between, you know, stepping out. One of my first teachers that I worked with, you know, and having been, you know, natural psychic, and I started channeling, and all this stuff happened, and I'm like, I want to help myself, but I see myself helping so many people. And she looked at me, she said,
right.
Work on your ego.
Work on your ego.
You have a lot of work to do. And I'm like, oh, boy, that really put me, you know,
right.
Like, the perspective there, you know.
Right, but I'm ready to go. I'm ready to help the world and save
yeah,
it. I'll,
I'm ready,
put on,
yeah.
I'll put on my cape, you know.
Yes.
You do put on the cape. That is true. But you know what it's like when you've been doing the work for a while and you've seen and worked with so many people, and it's like it really is their process. What I feel we do best as helpers and healers in the world is we hold that space for that individual's healing process. Yes, we can also give guidance and we can also give encouragement and teachings and so forth, but that comes out of our own training and our experience. And that's what I mean by integrity, you know, rather than
now,
I know.
Can you, which exactly, can you touch on, because we do have a question in the chat about different, that someone has been felt that they're, and then we'll get to a question I see in the 818 area code, I'll get right to you, different forms of healing, and there's different forms of energy work. If you can touch on that a bit and your perception of the Reiki, this person in the chat is saying that they've been told they have natural healing ability or healing
Reiki
energy.
Healing.
What does that mean? And to tie that in a bit with the focus of Reiki, if you would.
Sure, sure. I feel everybody, and really every living thing has the ability to channel, you know, universal energy. And what often happens is because of our upbringing or socialization, we don't always explore it. We get shamed for it and we're not comfortable with it. And so it often leads a person to explore something like Reiki, because in the Reiki training, a student receives an attunement or tunements, which are blessings. The word, it means coming to oneness, yourself, your truth, to that remembrance of your ability to channel. But, you know, you don't have to take Reiki training to do it. It just offers a structure. You can learn about hand positions if you've never done body work. You can learn about grounding yourself and ethics and boundaries and working with people. So pursuing something like Reiki offers that foundation. But I've also met tons of natural healers who've never done that, and they're incredible healers. You know, and so I guess it's just a person's path. There are other types of energy modalities that are out there as well, like pranic healing. Out of the nursing community comes therapeutic touch, or the layperson's versions, healing touch. Those are more structured applications of energy healing. And I think there are certain people, they want the structure. They also want a name, and both of those. Healing touch, Reiki, have like a history around them too. There's a lineage, there's a connection. So I think that's a bit of the difference, but I feel everybody has that ability. And sometimes coming to Reiki is like, oh, it just validates it even more.
Well put. Okay, we have a caller, 818-200. 818-200, hello, you're on Awakenings. Did you have a question for our guest?
Yes, hi, for Eileen. I was wondering, I'm living in the Glendale, California area. Do you know of anyone that I could go to, or in Pasadena? I don't know, in Southern California.
Sure. Sure. So there's a website that's really great. It's called the International Association of Reiki Professionals. That's a lot of words, but the website is short.
I'm going to put in the chat. What is it, the International Association?
Association of Reiki Professionals, or www.iarp.org. And if you go there, you can go to their wellness finder, and you can type in your zip code or the city that you live in, and it will pull up a list of Reiki practitioners and teachers in your area. I've worked with them over the years. They're really one of the best resources. So that's one. That would be one way. I don't know of anybody personally, unfortunately. Another good resource, is the whole meetup group phenomenon, meetup.com. There's every city I have toured with my book, there's some meetup group in some city on Reiki or meditation or holistic healing. So that's another avenue to explore. But those would be two resources I would recommend.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and I do believe there is, you said that, I believe there is a Reiki school in Santa Monica, so they may know also. You might want to Google that. Now, Eileen, what was that again? I want to put in the chat, the International Association of Reiki Professionals, and then you gave an acronym. What was that?
Their website is IARP. It's their initials, .org.
IARP.org.
Correct.
Okay. For Reiki in your area. Well, soon, if Eileen has her way, there will be one on every corner, so you won't have to worry about where they are.
That's right. You'll just find it. I mean, think about it. We've already come that way with massage. You have franchises out there of massage places, massage spas, and, you know, this type of thing, and acupuncture, so, and yoga studios, Pilates studios. Okay, come on, guys.
Why not?
What's a little challenging, although it is changing, is like any holistic group, Reiki has had its political sides. There's the traditional Reiki people. There's the non-traditionalists. So then when you talk of organizing, it can be challenging. I always find it humorous because we're all still working with universal energy. I don't care what you call it.
Exactly. I agree.
Can we get together and cooperate? No? Okay.
I think that's in the next rung. That's in the next, is Uranus and Aries and is Pluto and Capricorn is creating more aspects. People are going to have to let go of that. But it is said that working with universal energy, working with the subtle energy or the resonant field through Reiki, other energy, pranic energy, bioenergy alignment, all the other energy modalities, as well as like alpha theta healing or resonant healing, hypnotherapy, that's all the way. It's here now, but that's going to be all the wave of the future. That's the way to go. Definitely a lot more integrating, you know, of that. So I can definitely see what you're saying. Why not? Like you said, you know, or incorporating it more that a massage place has more, you know, Reiki as well, you know, or acupuncture and Reiki, at least by integrating the energy work more, I think is, because it's so, I had a facial, actually in the kind of, I don't know, Beverly Hills, West LA area, this, Goddess of Skin. And it was a whole treatment, this Himalayan kind of amazing healing treatment. But she did Reiki in the beginning. And I knew. I was like, I'm laying there. I didn't know she was going to do that. And all of a sudden I felt the Reiki. And I looked up and I said, oh, you work with healing guides. And I said, I feel Reiki. Are you doing some kind of energy work? She said, oh, my God, you felt that? I go, yeah, I felt that. but how could you, you know,
it's like, I was just going to say, I'm just, I'm working with a student who works in a spa. And I'm like, okay, well, when is it going to be time? I mean, some spas do advertise, yes, we can give Reiki. But it's like, not all of them do. That's what I mean. Like, not everybody's on board with it, and some places are more than others, but there's no reason why it can't be, and it can't be incorporated, like you say, into these other places. So,
and is it just, like you said earlier, Eileen, is it just still felt too woo-woo. I mean, it's definitely, even if people are touching someone, people have a healing touch. Is it
because it's the subtle energy, you can't see it?
What do you feel it is that blocks some people?
I think part of it, and you know, with Reiki, you don't have to touch a person. I mean, when I integrate Reiki into my counseling work, and some of my clients, I mean, they don't want the touch, and so I just bring the Reiki in, and I'm not touching, and it's just flowing, and we work with it there through the counseling process. So, you know, you don't
very
have to
touch. Very accessible for people. Very healing and very accessible.
Eileen,
maybe. We're winding out. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say one last thing. Maybe the reason why it's not as open or received well is until people can start seeing the energy, maybe that's another step in our evolution. Then it'll be more exciting, because otherwise it just looks like a person's just standing there not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
But
very true.
So much.
Very true. We've got a bit of a delay. Hello?
Oh, I'm still here.
Oh, good, 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 good. So just in the remaining minutes, if you can let people know how to get in touch with you, and also where your book is available. Is it readily available?
Yeah, sure.
You know, the standard Amazon and Barnes & Noble, your book, Touching the World Through Reiki. And you have a guided meditation CD also, Permission to Receive, Sharing My Heart and Insight, Reiki as well as your healing training program. Okay, so we talked about the training program, which is ReikiTrainingProgram.com, right?
Yes, and you can, any of the listeners who have other questions, you can email me through that website as well, and I'm really happy to respond to emails and questions and resources. So.
Wonderful. And the book is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble?
It is, as well as through my website, too. But they are available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Okay, which is ReikiTrainingProgram.com. Thank you so much, Eileen, for being on Awakenings and sharing your awakened insight. We really appreciate having you on the program.
Thank you, Michelle. Good day to you.
Good day. And thank you, listeners, as always, for connecting in, sharing your insight, and shining your light. We're going to end with a little Infinite Internal One by Kaivi Alani.
I am my own divine lover.
Awakening Tears every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific, from 12 to 12:45. Full Insight Channel, Psychic Meeting Show. Email your questions or comments at info@thelife.com. They can use self-advice.com.
Make yourself